Good morning, everyone. Have we turned a corner or is it just another bounce back? World markets are definitely looking to Wall Street this morning as the Dow Jones Industrial Futures and the S&P Futures are up. There may be a positive opening on Wall Street, but what does it mean? Confidence has been hard to find in the wake of the bailout package that Congress passed last week, and the search for confidence in world markets is an hourly affair, and nowhere more desperate is that search than in Europe. This week, the World Bank and the finance ministers of the G7 countries have their annual meeting, but there doesn't seem to be much optimism that any of those institutions can get control of this financial meltdown. Mark Landler, the international economic correspondent of the New York Times, joins us from Washington. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Good morning.
My first question to you is, this seems to be evolving into a real test of the European Union, whether they can enforce currency and, policies that will have an overall effect on the European economy versus just sort of splitting into various countries when things get tough.
Well, this is a week that has shown the limitations of the European Union in very stark terms. The union does have an effective central bank like the Fed, the European Central Bank, and it has worked with the Fed to inject money into the system. It may also at some point begin lowering interest rates. But what the European Union doesn't have is any single fiscal authority or any single legislature that would allow it to put together something similar to the bailout package that the Bush administration put together in the last 2 weeks. And when you don't have that, you end up devolving into what has turned into a sort of a squabble over who is responsible for doing what, and an unwillingness to do bank rescues that may end up helping their neighbors. So what Europe has done, in effect, is a piecemeal approach to what is clearly a continent-wide problem, and that's why the situation in Europe looks so chaotic and has looked so chaotic for the last 4 or 5 days.
Meanwhile, European rules have kind of encouraged a sense of panic. The Irish declare that they're going to insure deposits, and all of a sudden, Europeans in Greece can deposit all their money in Irish banks and come under this umbrella, but there's no way that can work out. It seems as though the lack of uniformity from country to country is also a problem.
It is. And this issue of guaranteeing private bank deposits has become particularly troublesome in the last few days because, as you point out, there's a fear of money skipping across borders in search of safer havens. And all of this prompts people to say that in the end, the Europeans will find a common solution. They have to. They have to think a bit more creatively. They have to break through a few of these mental log jams. But, no economy can sustain more than a few days of this level of panic, and there is a belief that the Europeans will be able at some point to break through this impasse and develop solutions that, if not exactly like the one the Bush administration pursued, then perhaps something along the lines of assembling large pools of capital that they can use to target banks that are in big trouble. It hasn't happened yet, but people are sort of watching and waiting for that moment to arrive.
And meanwhile, Russia, Brazil, Indonesia, countries in Eastern and Central Europe, other emerging markets have to wait, and they take the brunt of this credit freeze in virtually all of their economic growth. What's the trouble spot to watch in those markets?
Well, there's a variety of places that you have to be concerned, because even before the crisis began, there were some countries that were running large trade deficits, that were very vulnerable to a loss of foreign capital. Their banks were heavily leveraged with foreign capital and foreign investment. I mean, among the places that are an immediate concern are even little countries. Iceland, which for years has had one of the largest and most aggressive banking sectors for a small country, banks that lent very heavily to foreigners, they're suffering probably the most serious national financial crisis of any country. And yesterday, their government assumed emergency power to basically intervene in any way that it deems necessary in the banking industry. I think there's reports this morning that they've taken over the nation's second largest bank. So it's happening now at the level of Iceland. The question is whether it were to begin to happen at such a scale with a country like Russia, which is also extremely vulnerable to capital flows. They've had major financial crises before. They're also vulnerable to a drop in the price of oil, and the fear of a global recession has driven oil prices down at a huge rate in the past few days. So you see these problems coming up in countries that would be, of course, a much bigger threat to the global stability than a country like Iceland.
Sure, and oil has dropped off 40% in value from its highs. Last question, I mean, this is really out of the scale of institutions like the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, right?
Absolutely. I mean, these were institutions that that did take a big role in previous financial crises, but they seem completely short of the task this time. And although you're going to have 100 or so central bank chiefs and finance ministers in Washington this week, and they are going to be meeting at these institutions, I think there's just going to be a general frustration that we don't have an institution in the world today, really short of the United States government, that has the resources and the authority and the flexibility to inject confidence back into the system. And what we've seen in the past 3 days, sadly, is that even the United States government seems to lack that capacity.
You know, the world is looking for a J.P. Morgan to write a check for all of its troubles. Mark Landler is the international economic correspondent of the New York Times. He joined us from Washington. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you very much, John.